And so they're saying, well, actually, if he's the one that humbled himself, well, we're going to be like that as well, because we want to serve him. We want to make him known. Oh, do you want anyone else ever feel like, one, honor to serve Jesus as our master? Like, you could have a lot of masters. I've had some good bosses at work and some less good bosses. None of them are like Jesus. What a master, what a Lord to have. My question for you this morning is, does he call the shots in your life? And I don't just mean like in the areas you want him to, but in everything. In every aspect, all the decisions, all the things that you choose. You're saying, actually, I'm a servant, I'm a slave of Jesus. Jesus is your master, and he says, let's go that way. What do you think, which way do you think you should go? That way. A slave didn't have a choice, really. Their master said, come, slave, let's go this way. Well, I think I quite fancy going over that way. Thanks ever so much. They wouldn't last very long, but that's how Paul and Timothy are describing themselves. We are these bond servants, slaves of Christ. We can't think of anything better that we'd like to be. But being a servant is not who you are. It's what we're called to be as we serve Jesus, as we come to him, but it's not your identity. Your identity is the thing that comes next. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all of the saints in Christ Jesus, as well as the leaders, the overseers and deacons. We're just going to spend a little time talking about what does it mean to be a saint? What does it mean to be a saint? The word saint means holy one. Earlier on in our worship time, we were worshiping God, the great holy one. Whoa, his holiness. Whoa. God is set apart. He's other. He's different. And now, Paul's saying, right, I'm now writing to the holy ones in Christ Jesus. Well, who's he talking about? Now, we're here in St. Columba's Church. Okay, St. Columba's. Okay, St. Columba was a 6th century Irish missionary who ended up doing stuff in Scotland. And then because of his impact and what he did, then he's been kind of venerated by the church, by both the Catholic and the Anglican church, to be a saint, to be this kind of really special believer, so we'll call him a saint. Today, in fact, is St. Columba's Day, the 9th of June, yeah, in the Anglican church calendar. It's like, oh, it's interesting. It's almost like God wanted me to speak about this today. So who are the saints then? Are they like really special Christians who, after when they die, we go, oh, like, you know, James is quite a special guy. Maybe when he's dead, we'll go like, oh, James started Motorfest. He was amazing. St. James Noble. That sort of thing. Maybe kind of in the, you know, about early 22nd century, maybe a kind of carving of James's head on the wall, something like that. Is that what a saint is? Or you might think saint kind of can be used of like, you know, when someone's really nice, they go like, oh, they're such a saint. Oh, they're so lovely. And you think, well, I could never be like them. I'm not really that nice. Who's Paul talking about when he writes to the saints in Christ Jesus? He's writing to you, an ordinary Christian, because you're in Christ Jesus. That's what makes you a saint. Imagine this morning if when Gemma had started the meeting, she'd started and said, hello, good morning, holy ones. How are you today? Would you have kind of gone, ooh, I wonder who she's talking to. So, oh, you're talking to me? Oh, no, I'm not a holy one. You don't know about my week. What I'm like. I'm far from being a holy one. I'm very aware of my own weaknesses. Actually, the Bible teaches you that if you've come to put your trust in Christ Jesus, you are a holy one, a saint. You don't have to wait till you die to have your name carved on the wall. But you're a saint. Why? Because of the next three words. In Christ Jesus. Can you say those three words with me? In Christ Jesus. Say it again. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus is one of Paul's favorite phrases. The word Christian only appears three times in the whole Bible. In Christ Jesus appears dozens and dozens of times. I think we should change our name to not be called Christians, but called In Christ Jesus ones. Because it's much more biblical in terms of one of what it describes, in terms of what we like. Now, in order to help you understand this, I'm going to tell you a story where I look terrible. And if you are ever wanting to be married or have a girlfriend, never, ever do this. Okay? I'm just going to warn you. This was 26 years ago, but it proves a good illustration, and I'll show it to you. So I need to have a volunteer who looks like, yes, I know, Come on, Dan. You know, you want to come. That's tremendous. And Sam, you can come as well. Okay? Now, one of you, I'm going to act out as me, and one of you is going to be Becky. So, Sam's got curly hair, so that'll do. So you're Becky, hello. So here we go. So back when I was 20 years old, Becky and I were dating. You're a bit taller than you used to be, but hey-ho, there we go. like this. And we were out and about with some friends of ours doing different things. And we also had a friend called Joey, who was a bit of a joker, not like Dan's like that at all. Joey and I thought it'd be funny to play a trick on Becky. Now, I had a very distinctive jumper, not this one, but it was a bit like it. And so I said to Joey, Becky was facing that way, chatting to people. And I said to Joey, put that on and give her a hug. And so he put it on. I put my jumper on like this. I do hope it fits. It seems so. Okay. I want it back later. It's my favorite jumper. Okay. And I said, just go up behind her while she's talking and just like give her a hug like this. So that's what Joey did. Kind of went up behind her and kind of did this. And Becky was chatting away. I didn't hug quite that low. I'm not married yet. Goodness, the heavens above. Okay. Like, and Becky was chatting away and just sort of saw my arm and recognized it, and so kind of put her hand on my arm like this. And then I, thinking this was funny and being stupid and 20 years old, then walked in front and waved like this. Becky jumped out of her skin. Okay, Joey then got in real trouble, but not as much trouble as I got in. Like, never, ever do this. If you want, I don't know why she agreed to marry me. Thank you, two. A round of applause for my volunteers. Okay, why am I telling you this example? It's not to try and encourage you in dating technique, but it is to say at that moment, Joey was in Simon and therefore was acceptable to Becky because, it's just like, you looked just like me. And smells a bit like me. Or that's something, you know, your clothing, it sort of does that sort of thing. He was clothed in Simon. He wasn't Simon, but he was clothed in Simon, as he was totally acceptable to Becky until he was found out. See, when you become a Christian, Jesus doesn't just take away your sin, and he's like, and then you have like a blank page, start again. He gives you something. He gives you all of his perfect obedience, all of his the life of sinlessness, all of his favor with his Father, and he says, put that on. Put it on. You're in Christ. And the good thing is, it's not like the Father then goes, hang on a minute. Who's this? You're not Jesus. Get away from me. How dare you? It was the Father's idea. He sent the Son and said, actually, your righteousness, your perfect obedience, as you die, as you then do the great exchange, your sin for Jesus' righteousness. It's the best deal that will ever be offered on planet Earth. It's absolutely stunning. Then because you're in Christ, you're clothed in Christ, what it means is that as you approach God, you will always be totally accepted, absolutely secure, always forgiven, no matter what you've done, dearly loved, always welcomed by the Father in the same way that he welcomes Jesus. Just listen to that again. In the same way that the Father welcomes his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who is before all the ages, he now welcomes you because you're a saint in Christ Jesus. Okay? This is how Terry Virgo, who is the guy that started our family of churches, puts it in one of his books. If you put this quote up, there we go. It says, when you wake up tomorrow, he will still be your righteousness. Before you've done anything to deserve God's favor, you have to earn nothing. Your spirit needs to bask, I love that word, bask, in the brilliant reality, sunshine of this reality. You need to know it inwardly and celebrate it on a daily basis. Every day is Saint Simon's day. Every day is Saint Jen's day. Every day is Saint Steve's day. St. Amelia's Day, because we're in Christ. Every single day, that is who you are. It's anyone who's in Christ. It's not anyone who prays well or studies their Bible a lot or has been a Christian for a long time and is really nice. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's what it means to be in Christ. That is your identity, a holy one. Now, sometimes holy ones make mistakes and you sin. But it doesn't mean, oh, I'm a terrible sinner. And oh, God, I wonder if you'll ever love me. Oh, you are a saint. Every morning you wake up, Jesus is my righteousness today. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yesterday I said that and I did that. I thought that. Please forgive me, Father. But today I'm a saint. I'm righteous. I'm acceptable. I can draw near to my Father. That's why this is so, so important to grasp hold of. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You're a saint. But you're not just in Christ. You're somewhere else as well. It says this as the verse goes on. It says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are also at Philippi. So these believers were in Christ and they were in Philippi. They had two addresses. I'm in Christ. I'm in Philippi. What Paul's saying with this is, as Christians, we're not to live with our head in the clouds and go, oh, I'm in Christ. Oh, that's it. That's kind of, all I'm doing is really just waiting for Jesus to come back. And the world around me, it can just fade away. I don't care. Just one day Jesus will come back and everything will be wonderful. Okay, Christians aren't to live with their head in the clouds, but with our feet firmly planted on the ground. Because God's called us to be in Coventry, not in Philippi, but in Coventry for a reason. Otherwise, he'd be like, well, I've saved you. Let's just whisk you off to heaven straight away. There you go. Wonderful. You've been in Christ. Oh. No, but he's called you to be in Christ in Coventry. Right here, right now, living out your identity as a saint in Christ. On full display. Our life in Christ should never be separate from our life in Coventry. It's not Sundays I'm in Christ, Mondays oh, I'm in Coventry. Oh, I'm in Christ when I'm in church, at home, not really, I'm in Coventry. There's not to be an inconsistency between our identity and how that gets worked out in different settings. When you're at work, when you're at home, when you're with your family, when you're with your neighbors. We are saints in Christ in those situations. In Paul's words later in Philippians, shine like stars in the universe, demonstrating something to those around us. You are in Christ and you're in Coventry. That's our calling. That's, again, one of the themes that came up in our worship was saying, God, you've called us here to make an impact on the world around us. I love how that song finishes. We're kind of going, oh, holy, you're amazing, wonderful. And you're saying, give me a heart for those around me. That's exactly what this is all about as well. You're in Christ, you're in Coventry. Those two things go together. You're not in Coventry by accident, but you're here called to serve and bless where God has placed you, to walk in the works that he's prepared beforehand that you may walk in them. And as you walk, God gives you different gifts to help you to do that. And that's what verse 2 and the last thing we'll look at is all about. Because he then writes this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a common greeting that you will find in lots of the letters in the New Testament. But it's not just to be something to be skipped past, like kind of dear, something like that. What Paul's referring to here is two of the many magnificent gifts that God gives us to help us as we walk in Christ in Coventry and to live out our identity. One of them is grace. Grace, we could do a whole series on the depths and the wonder of what grace is. But if you summarize it in short, it's God's undeserved, unmerited, unlimited favor lavishly poured out on you, not just at salvation. I'm not just saved by grace, but day by day by day by day, he motivates and stirs and pours out his favor and kindness and compassion upon us. God is a grace factory, and he just keeps pushing and longing for us to know the grace of God, his favor stirring and changing and pulling us near to our Father. That's the grace of God. Grace to you and peace. Anyone a fan of peace? You think, oh, I want peace in my life. Paul said, oh, you need to have grace. Peace. Peace with God. Peace within yourself. The world really needs that, doesn't it? Peace within themselves. Mental health crisis. Peace from God. Peace with one another. Paul speaks about this later in the letter, so I won't jump ahead. The peace that surpasses all understanding, guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ. This peace that's on display. Wow. The world around us looks for peace and longs for it, but doesn't really know where to look. If you're a Christian, you do. You go here. It's peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lovely quote I want to finish with on this. This is a quote by Matthew Henry, who's a great Bible commentator, lived in the 17th century. I just love this. I thought I'd read this out. It says this: "There is no peace without grace. Inward peace springs from divine favor. And there is no peace or grace but from God our Father in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no peace without grace. And it springs from divine favor." That's the gifts that God is offering to his church in Philippi and in Coventry every day of every year from then and forevermore until Jesus comes back. Grace, peace, these beautiful gifts as we're in Christ and in Coventry to keep us following him. So, holy ones, welcome to the book of Philippians. As we begin our journey, let's remember that this letter, as all of life, is all about Jesus, and that together, as brothers and sisters, we are servants of Christ. He's now our master, but we are now holy ones, saints in Christ, who he's placed in Coventry to make an impact. And as we do that, we receive wave after wave of grace and peace for the journey. Amen. Let's pray. Why don't we stand together? I think we might sing a quick song to finish off, but I'm just going to pray. If I called you a holy one at the start, how would you respond? Would you say, "I know that's the theory, Simon, but I don't know that's really true in practice"? Would you say, "Yes, I know"? Would you say, "Not a chance, have you seen my life"? Actually, God changes who you are right at the start and then teaches you how to grow into the clothes that he's given you. But you're always a saint if you're in Christ, because that's what he's called you to be. Father, I thank you for this beautiful letter. Thank you that it's so full of joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. Thank you that it's going to teach us and instruct us, and it's going to help us to grow in grace and peace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want. Father, I pray for everyone in this room, Father, would you grow them and grow me as we look at this together, oh God. Would you cause us to become more like Jesus, understanding who we are, understanding who you are, and then seeing how that impacts the way that we live day to day in this city that you love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.